We've been talking about Hilchos Bishul, and we went through what kind of temperature one needs to get to in order to violate the laws of Bishul. We spoke about what kind of object needs to be used in order to violate Bishul. If it's Bishul Bechama, is it the same as Bishul Agabi Ha'esh? Or perhaps those are very different, and we went into great detail about all of those different discussions. Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul, it depends whether it's a Davar Lach, depends if it's something that is liquid or if it's something that is solid. Now what we're going to transition to for the last in this series is two rabbinic prohibitions when it comes to cooking on Shabbos. If you look in the pages of Chumash, you will not find anything even remotely connected to what we're going to discuss. What we're talking about here is something that is all midrabbanan. What is that? There are two different takanas midrabbanan, two different rabbinic inactions. And those are number one, the Isra of Shihiyah, Shin Hei Yud Yud Hei. And then the Isra of Hachazara. Hachazara means, it's spelled Hey Ches, Zayin Reish Hey. What is Shihiyah and what is Hachazara? That's what we're going to talk about today. So we begin with the Machlokes, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and Mesecha Shabbos, Dav Yud Zayin Amid Beis. We already mentioned this a couple of weeks ago when we spoke about whether or not one is obligated to make sure that not only does he abstain from doing any work on Shabbos, but also one needs to make sure that his kelim, that his objects, that his utensils, don't do any work on Shabbos. Is that something that I'm obligated to make sure of? Or do we say no? My problem is only if I do malacha, or my children do malacha. But if my utensils are going to be doing malacha, no problem at all. That is the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And the Gemara comes to the conclusion, we paskin like Beis Hillel. What is the halacha? That ein mitzuvin al shvisas kelav b'Shabbos, which means that the Gemara gives an example, poskin mayim legina. If I set up an irrigation system on Erev Shabbos, and the water is already traveling down the system, even though I know that subsequently on Shabbos itself, malacha is going to occur, but since the whole system already was in motion before Shabbos began, and once Shabbos starts, I'm doing nothing to create that malacha, therefore the Gemara says that would not be a problem at all. Okay, so if that were the case, let's bring that formula over to our discussion with regard to Bishul, with regard to cooking on Shabbos. It should follow that if I leave my oven on before Shabbos, and I leave some kind of dish cooking in the oven, I should say that it would be permissible to do so. After all, what am I doing wrong? I didn't do any malacha. And the fact that my oven is on and it's actually cooking something, not a problem. Why is that any different than the other example that we gave of turning on an irrigation system and having all the malacha happen on its own? This should be synonymous to that case, and it should be permissible on Shabbos. It should have been. However, it's not. Why is it not? Says the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, because we have a new rabbinic consideration. What is that consideration? The Gemara says we're afraid, Shema Yechata B'Gechalim. That means, while it's true that if I turn on the irrigation system before Shabbos begins and everything goes in motion on its own, not a problem, nothing to worry about. Here, there's an additional concern that we have to worry about, and that is, if I'm going to leave my oven on before Shabbos, even though it's true that I did all the necessary malacha before Shabbos began, and I put the food in before Shabbos, and I'm not going to do anything at all, there's an added consideration here, and that is, Shema Yechata B'Gechalim, which basically means we have a concern that maybe as Shabbos continues to go on, you're going to stoke the coals, because you're going to realize that your food is not getting cooked as quickly as you need it. You're about to sit down to the Shabbos meal. Nothing's ready. You're going to raise the flame, or you're going to lower the flame because your things are getting burnt. And that will be a violation of turning on, extinguishing, or turning up a fire on Shabbos is not permissible. So that's why we have a concern. And for that reason, says the Gemara, you would not be allowed to leave food in an oven before Shabbos starts, even though I'm not doing anything. It's a passive violation. It's a passive violation. I did absolutely nothing, but still we are told that that you are not allowed to do that because of this concern. Yes, question.
So it's a violation because of a worry that someone's going to, if food getting cold, I'm going to turn up the flame a little bit?
Yeah, that's the concern.
What if there wasn't this worry and someone didn't actually do that? It's still a violation because of this concern?
Yeah, but now maybe let's give examples of where it wouldn't be a concern. So say, for example, the Mishnah says, if you put the tafshil onto an eish that you cannot change, let's say you have an oven or you have coals, and you cannot stoke the coals and make them go higher or lower. Then the Mishnah says you don't have to be concerned about this consideration. What does it mean that you cannot stoke the coals? Let's say, for example, you're already talking about coals that are burnt out. So now they're still boiling hot, but there's nothing to poke anymore. Right? Sometimes you get to the bottom of a barbecue grill, right, in the old charcoal grills. Once everything's white already, you're at a point where it's not going to matter if you move anything around. It's still going to keep your food very hot. It's still going to maybe cook your food. But in such a case as the Mishnah, this whole consideration is no longer something that we need to worry about. So as you said, let's say we change the case slightly, and for whatever reason, you don't have to worry about this problem of Shema Yechate B'Gechalim. In such a case, we would say that that is not something that I need to worry about. Not only that, even if there's a concern that maybe I'm going to raise the flame or maybe lower it, how do I get around that problem? Says the Gemara, there's a very simple solution. What is the simple solution? The Gemara tells us, as long as it is garuf v'katum. What does garuf v'katum mean? Garuf means if I remove the coals, so now I have an oven which is burning hot because coals have been in it for a long time. But if I remove the coals, I'm allowed to leave the food in there cooking. Now that's a very unlikely scenario for us, because once you remove the fire, our ovens are not going to be hot at all. Right? So therefore, we would say that that's a little unreasonable. However, the katum means that if I cover over the gechalim be'efer, if I cover over the coals with some kind of layer of substance on top of it, which will stop me from then being able to stoke them because they're all covered up, then I would say that that would be something that would alleviate this consideration that we have of Shema Yechate B'Gechalim. So says the Gemara, although it's true that I'm not allowed to put food in an oven before Shabbos and allow it to cook over the duration of Shabbos, the Gemara says as long as you do one of these two things, that would be okay. What are they? Has to be Garuf V'Katum, which means you take the flame out, or you cover it over, which will then stop you from doing something that you shouldn't do. Maybe let's go a little further, unless you have a question that you don't understand right now.
Is it and or?
Let's see in a minute. So then the Gemara then goes into a discussion that is a machlokas between Chananya and the Chachamim. Chananya and the Chachamim, those are two opinions in the Tanaim, and the Gemara gets into that discussion as follows. Says the Gemara, according to the opinion of Chananya, any food that has already been cooked before Shabbos, Kemaychel ben Drusai, which we've been talking about a lot until this point, Kemaychel ben Drusai, we said, is either a third cooked or a half cooked. If when Shabbos comes in, this food is already cooked halfway, then you would be allowed to leave it on an open flame on Shabbos. There's no reason to cover over the fire. There's no reason to do anything, says Chananya, because you have no concern. Why do you have no concern?
It's half cooked, though.
Because since it's half cooked already, as far as the halacha is concerned, this is already considered cooked. And therefore, nobody's going to go and stoke the coals on Shabbos because this is cooked already. Says Chananya, in such a case, you have nothing to worry about. Along come the Chachamim and they say, what do you mean? How can that be? If I have a dish that is half cooked, I would of course want it to be fully cooked. And so long as it's not fully cooked, don't I have to still be concerned that maybe someone is going to come along and raise the flame or lower the flame because of whatever consideration they have? Because so long as this dish is not finished fully cooking, we still have to look out for it. So why aren't we concerned, say the Chachamim, that maybe someone is still going to come? Even if you have a dish that is half cooked already, that shouldn't be sufficient. That is the question of the Chachamim, and that is why they disagree with this assumption of Chananya. How do we paskin lahalacha? Which opinion do we accept? Do we accept Chananya, or do we accept the Chachamim? That is a big dispute among the Rishonim. And if you look in the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Reish Nun Gimel makes things even more complicated for us as he quotes both opinions of both Rishonim. And that means he quotes the opinion of Chananya, and he quotes the opinion of the Chachamim, and he's not Machria, which means he doesn't give us the bottom line. How do we paskin? Do we say that so long as the food is half-cooked, that would be sufficient? Or do you say no? The Chachamim say the only time you're allowed to leave food on the oven is when it is mitstamik viralo. That means if you leave it on for one more minute, it's going to get burnt. It's going to actually make the food get worse. That's the only time you're allowed to leave food on an open flame on Shabbos. But barring that situation, the Chachamim say, there would be no allowance for a person to leave food on the oven because we have a concern. Shema Yechate B'Gechalim. So how do we paskin? As we said, the Shulchan Aruch brings both opinions, velo hichria, and he does not give us clarity on which opinion we accept. Along comes the Rama, and he says that Ashkenazim paskin lahakel like Chananya. Ashkenazim paskin like Hananya, which means if you have food that is already cooked halfway, there would be no problem to leave that food on an open flame for Shabbos, as long as it's halfway cooked. Which basically I would venture to say is, all of our food today, by the time Shabbos comes in, is already cooked halfway, and therefore there really should be no concern at all. However, the Rama does point out, even though I would be allowed to leave such a tapshil, such a dish on the oven, on the open flame, without covering anything, I'd be allowed to do that on Shabbos, when Shabbos comes in, still, the Rama tells us you still have to be careful, shelo lemahar bishulo. Right? You still have to be careful, like we spoke in the previous year. You're not allowed to enhance the cooking process either. For example, like we said in the previous year, if I have a pot that is covered and everything's cooking, and now I take the lid off, I'm not allowed to put the lid back on. Why am I not allowed to put it back on? Because now I'm enhancing the cooking process. And therefore, if I leave something on the fire before Shabbos begins, and now I'm going to stir the pot, like we said last time, which is going to enhance the cooking, or I'm going to cover over the pot, and it was an open pot beforehand, both of those would be something that would not be permissible, even though as far as Shehiyah is concerned, you would be allowed to leave the pot there, but one has to make sure that they do not do anything to be memaher the bishul b'Shabbos. Okay? Now, the Gemara Maseches Shabbos then introduces us to one very notable exception. So what it seems is, if I have something that is not cooked halfway, I'm not allowed to leave it on the fire when Shabbos comes in. If I have something that already cooked halfway, I would be allowed to leave it on the fire because we have no concern. What's the concern? You're going to poke around the coals, you're going to raise the flame. No reason to raise the flame. It's already cooked as far as we're concerned. Nothing to worry about. The Gemara Maseches Shabbos gives us one notable exception. What is the exception? Says the Gemara, we are going to be introduced to this concept of Kedera Chaisa. What does Kedera Chaisa mean? So the Gemara says, the Gemara tells us that if I have an open flame and I have a concern that I have a dish that has not been cooked before Shabbos, how do I get around the problem? You throw in a Kedera Chaisa. You take a raw piece of meat 2 minutes before Shabbos begins and you throw it into the pot. What does that help? What does that help? Yeah?
Because then, like, even if you stoke the coals, it's not going to be fully cooked.
Correct. So how do I get around the problem? The whole point of stoking the coals or raising the temperature is that it should cook quicker, it should cook faster, and it should be ready for me to eat on Friday night. However, if you have a situation like this where you throw in a Kedera Chaisa, you throw in a raw piece of meat that is not cooked at all 2 minutes before Shabbos, and by the time the Shabbos meal comes along an hour later or an hour and a half later when we get to the main course, it's not going to be ready. As much as I'm going to raise the flame, it won't be ready. Then in such a case, says the Gemara, you have nothing to be concerned about. Why should there be a concern? No one's going to do anything. And therefore, in that situation, the Shulchan Aruch writes, that would certainly be one way around any of these issues by throwing in a Kedera Chaisa. So say, for example, sometimes you have people who have a challant that they put up. They put it up a little bit too late before Shabbos began. How are they allowed to leave it when Shabbos comes in? Isn't it cooking? Isn't that Shehiyah? So the answer that some people say is throw in a Kedera Chaisa. Throw in a raw piece of meat right before Shabbos, and that's a way to circumvent the problem. Why is that a way to circumvent the problem? Because I'm not going to raise the temperature, I'm not going to raise the dial of the crock pot, because even if I do it, it's not going to help anything. The piece of meat won't be able to be cooked that fast anyway. That is the suggestion that many people give. There are those who feel that today, maybe this is not as relevant as it once was, because today, in the modern appliances that we have, we can basically cook anything in an hour and a half. Right? There's nothing that won't cook in an hour and a half. It may not be cooked fully, but it will certainly cook to the point that it's edible. So you really would have this concern with the slow cookers and the other things that we have, the appliances that we use today. It could be that this whole leniency may not apply in our situation. Okay. Now, as we mentioned, the Bir Halacha writes that the only time that this would be permissible is if by the time the meal on Friday night begins, this is not going to be ready. So that's when we say that you circumvent the problem with a Kedera Chaisa because you're worried about the food for the Friday night meal. But says the Bir Halacha, if it's going to be ready on Shabbos morning, you don't have to worry about it. Why? Because the person's not going to stay up all night and sit and watch the flame. That's not something we have to be concerned about, and therefore he says we don't have to worry. So what emerges is, if I have something that is completely cooked before Shabbos, which is most of our food, right? Our food is all cooked before Shabbos. We don't rely till the second before Shabbos. What would the halacha be? Can I leave that on an open flame when Shabbos comes in? What do you say? Yes. Why?
Because we pass on like Chananya.
Chananya says, so long as it's already cooked, there is no concern. Who's going to raise the temperature? Who's going to raise the flame? Who's going to extinguish the flame? There's no concern at all. Everything has been cooked already, and therefore we have no reason to be worried at all. This whole discussion about Shehiya is only when we talk about something which has not yet been cooked. If it has not yet been cooked, that's when we're going to say we have a concern that maybe if by leaving it on the flame, then someone's going to come along and maybe change the dial a little bit over the course of Friday night. Question?
Even if it was fully cooked, wouldn't you want less in it? Let's say that you never had it overcooked?
Yeah. So you're saying, shouldn't we have that concern?
Yeah.
Shouldn't we have that concern? Yeah. That's an interesting question. I don't know. When the Gemara talks about it, it's a concern that maybe I'm going to raise the temperature. I don't know why it doesn't say, oh, I don't know. Yeah, question. Correct, but I did everything. I set up the whole system before. That's a great question, but it goes back to what we started with.
But you're enhancing it still on Shabbat, like it's going from raw to cooked.
Correct, but it's not because you're doing anything. It's something that you set up a system before Shabbos, and this is what we started with. When I set up a system before Shabbos, like the irrigation system in the field, so long as everything was set up before Shabbos, the Gemara says, I'd be allowed to continue to do so on Shabbos itself. Even though I'm not doing anything, but the malacha is happening, it's watering the plants. But since I'm not actively engaged, since this is something that's happening on its own, therefore we assume it would be permissible. The same would be over here. Even though we know that the raw piece of meat is going to cook on Shabbos, still we assume that would be permissible because I am not involved in that process.
Like, even when we said, like, be really careful with, like, the
spoons,
the ladle to the yeah. Top, because if some droplets, like, get in, then they're
right. Because there you're actively doing something. There you're actively cooking the droplets. When you put it back in, you are cooking it. Here, you're not doing anything. You throw it into the pot before Shabbos begins, and then you let nature take its course. You let it cook by itself.
So not just the chicken with anything, if you like, leave it on beforehand and you don't touch it, that in this case it's fine? Or...
if it's something that would take a while to cook, yes. Okay. So to put a noodle into the mixture before Shabbos wouldn't make a difference because that only takes 5 minutes to cook. But if you're taking a kedera chaisa, which means a raw piece of meat, which usually takes a while for it to cook, that's where the Gemara says this this heter. Now, what if I have raw food going into Shabbos and I want to figure out, is there any permissible way for me to be able to leave it on a fire when Shabbos comes in? The answer to that is, says the Gemara, if the fire is grufa uktuma, that means if either I remove the flame from underneath the pot or I cover it over with something. So, what is the reason why, if the esh is ketuma, if the fire is covered over, why do we assume that that is going to be something that helps us? Why does that mitigate the problem? Rashi explains, because if I cover it over with ashes, if I cover it over with some substance, then it's no longer going to be so hot. You're mitigating the amount of heat that's going to be able to come up and cook the item and cook the food. And therefore we say that so long as you limit the amount of heat, that would already be enough to allow somebody to be able to leave it on the fire on Shabbos, and that is what the Shulchan Aruch writes. The Rambam explains that if I'm basically limiting the amount of heat source that comes out of this fire, the Rambam explains that basically shows shehisiach daito min ha'esh. I'm showing in a very active way that I'm not interested in changing the fire and changing the flame to make it higher, because after all, the Rambam says, by covering over the heat and by making it lower, I'm basically showing that whatever happens now happens. So that's why he explains, based on Rashi, that's why he explains that that's why it would be permissible. And based on that, this is why I'm sure many of us have seen a blech, right? A blech is just a flat sheet pan that you put on top of the stove. That is why the Chazon Ish said that in his opinion, he doesn't understand why a blech is helpful at all. Why should a blech not be helpful? Why should a blech not be helpful? Everybody knows what a blech is, standard? Standard blech is just a flat sheet of metal that you put on top of the stove. Why should it not be helpful?
Because it's Yeah. You can still control the flame of the
knob. Says the Chazon Ish, more than that. He says, if the whole idea here is that by covering over the flame, you are now limiting the amount of heat that comes out, that's not the case when I put a flat sheet pan on top. I'm conducting heat. And now, the heat basically is going to be on all four corners of this flat sheet pan. The whole thing is going to be hot. I'm making it even hotter. And therefore, says the Chazon Ish, he doesn't understand why that should help anything. Rav Moshe Feinstein disagrees, which is why many, many Ashkenazim in America follow Rav Moshe's opinion, which is why many people in their homes have a blech, because they don't believe that the Chazon Ish is correct. The Rav Moshe writes that, however I cover over the flame, that is sufficient. Didn't Rashi say that I have to limit the amount of heat, and that's the whole objective of putting something on top of the flame? Says the Igros Moshe, that's not what Rashi meant. All Rashi meant to say was you have to have some kind of hecker. You have to have something that makes it obvious, something that makes it clear to everyone that I'm not trying to cook on Shabbos, that I'm not trying to do anything that would potentially bring me to raise the heat on Shabbos even if I wanted to. And therefore, says Rav Moshe, as far as he's concerned, there would be no problem at all to leave a blech on top of the oven, on top of the stove, because that would be enough of a hecker that would be recognizable for me to be able to allow myself to leave food on top of that on Shabbos. And that is what the Shemira Shabbos Kalchasa writes as well. What about leaving it on a plata? What is a plata? So a hot plate, we're talking about a hot plate that doesn't have a dial to change the temperature. You're talking about a hot plate where you plug it in, and all it has is one temperature. So would I be allowed to leave food on the hot plate going into Shabbos or not? Answer to that would be, what do you say, Brianna?
Yes,
of course. Why not? Why yes?
Because Rosh's whole point was to make it clear that you're covered, you're not trying to
cook. In such a case, the flame is covered. Everything's covered. There's no way for me to change it unless I unplug it. If I unplug it, then it's over. So therefore, we assume that that would not be a problem. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein talks about who raised that issue about covering over the dials. Who said that? Somebody said that. So Rav Moshe discusses, would it be enough to cover over the dials, or do you have to cover over the flame? What does it mean when we say grufo k'tuma? What does it mean when the Gemara says you have to cover it over in order to allow you to leave food on there? Does that mean you cover over the place where you would actually change it, or it means you cover over the flame? Rav Moshe says, in his opinion, he thinks you have to cover over the flame itself. There were others who said, no, you have to cover over the dial. That's why you'll see there are some blechs that have a little extension, right? So you have like a flat sheet pan, and then it folds over in the end, where it covers over the dials as well. That's the reason for it, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Rav Aaron Cutler, the Rosh Hashiva in Lakewood, disagreed with Rav Moshe about this point, and he said, what does it help to cover the fire if the knobs are still there and available for you to turn? You might be able to do that. Now, I think Rav Moshe would disagree because he says, if the fire is covered over, you have enough of a hecker, and that's all we need. When a person walks near the oven and you see a flat sheet pan on top of your stove, nobody cooks like that. That's already enough of a hecker to remind you, of course I shouldn't touch the dials and of course I shouldn't change anything. And that would be enough to make a person be reminded that this is something that they should not do on Shabbos. Okay, now we move on to the second of the rabbinic prohibitions, which is what we refer to as hachazara. What is hachazara? Hachazara means two different things. We're going to start with one, and then we'll move to the second. The first thing that it means is, if I have something that is cooking on Shabbos on an element, say a crock pot, am I allowed to take that off the element and then put it back on? So let's say I love challenge so much that I want to have Friday night, and then I want to save it because I want to have Shabbos day as well. So would I be allowed to take the crock pot off of the element, off of the heating element, take out whatever I need, and then put it back? That is something that we refer to as hachazara. That's part A of the discussion. Part B of the discussion by hachazara is, let's say I have something that was not on the fire when Shabbos came in. It was in the refrigerator. I prepared all the food before Shabbos. I'm not going to leave it out. I want to eat this tomorrow during the day meal. So I want to take it out during the daytime. And I want to allow myself to then heat it up somehow. Nobody wants to have cold food. In fact, the Rama says, anybody who eats cold food on Shabbos and doesn't make sure to have something hot over the course of Shabbos, says the Rama, Tzarech Bedika Acharav, you have to look into that person and make sure that they're really a kosher person. Why do you have to look into them?
Karaites.
Karaites what?
Karaites, you say you can't have any flavor on Shabbos.
Why not?
Because it's
Right, so the Torah says, Lo sevaru eish b'chomosh v'oseichem b'yom ha-Shabbos, which means, that's the question, what does it mean? So, the halacha says it means you're not allowed to ignite a fire on Shabbos, you're not allowed to light a new flame on Shabbos, that's the malacha. However, the Karaites, the Karaim, misinterpreted the pasuk and they said, no, it means you're not allowed to have any lights on in your house on Shabbos. And that is why, if we try to have hot food on Shabbos to be motzi mi liban shel hatzedukim, to take away from their claim, what was their claim? They said, you're not allowed to have any lights on, you're not allowed to have any hot food, and therefore we say one should always go out of their way to try to have hot food. Why? Because we want to show that that's not what the pasuk means. Pasuk didn't mean to say you're not allowed to have lights on. The pasuk only meant to say you're not allowed to ignite those lights on Shabbos. But if you're not going to do so because you left it on before Shabbos began, that would be no problem at all. That's why the Ramah says it's important that everybody try to have hot food on Shabbos at some point. Okay, so now let's begin, as we said, with part A of the discussion. Then we'll get to part B of how we are supposed to heat up food that we take out of the refrigerator on Shabbos. We begin with the Mishnah Masechah Shabbos, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, where the Mishnah says if you have something that was on a heating element and you take that pot off of that heating element, you are not allowed to put it back onto the heating element again. Why not? The Gemara doesn't explain why not. Why not? What should be the problem? So the Rishonim have a dispute as to why one is not allowed to take a crock pot off of the element and put it back on. The Rashba, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, the Rashba says that the reason why is because it's mechzi kimevasho. Somebody who walks into the room and sees you taking a crock pot and putting it onto the element, they don't know that 10 minutes ago it was on the crock pot before. All they see is you're taking a crock pot and putting it onto an element. Start screaming, how are you allowed to do that? It's Shabbos, come on, you can't do such a thing. So therefore, since it's mechzi kimevasho, it looks like you're cooking, therefore we assume that you're not allowed to take something that was on a heating element and then was subsequently taken and off. You're not allowed to go ahead and put it back on. Rabbeinu Tam, one of the Bali Atosas, writes in the Sefer HaYashar that's not the reason. The reason why is the same as Shehiyah, that we have a concern, Shema Yechate B'Gachalim. We have a concern that what? That maybe you're going to change the dial. Maybe you're going to change the temperature. So if you're going to put something back on to an element on Shabbos, we're concerned, oh, it's too hot, it's not hot enough, whatever it is, we're concerned that you're going to poke around the coals, and therefore we assume that is why hachazara would not be permissible on Shabbos. Hachazara means putting something back. Putting something back means it was cooked already before, it was on the heating element before, and now it was taken off, and I'm asking whether or not I'm allowed to put it back on. So again, the Gemara says you're not allowed to do that. The question here is only why. The Rashba says the reason why is because it's mechzi kimevasho, because it looks like I'm cooking. And Rabbeinu Tam says the reason why is because we're concerned, shema yechate begechalim. We're concerned maybe you're going to play around with the coals, maybe you're going to adjust the heat, and therefore we say that would be a problem. The Mishnah Berurah writes that we paskin like the Rashba, that the concern here is mechzi kimevasho. We're afraid that it looks like it's cooking. My father and others disagree, and they say maybe the accepted opinion should be like Rabbeinu Tam, that the concern that we have is shema yechate begechalim. Now, we're talking about two different reasons, and we're saying, how do we paskin, like the Rashba or Rabbeinu Tam? What's the difference? Is there a case where it actually would make a difference, where according to the Rashba would be a problem, and according to Rabbeinu Tam it would be fine, or in the opposite direction? What would be a good test case for that? Says the Bir Halacha the following. Let's say I'm in my home, and I have a cooked pot of food that is cold, and I have a whole house of company, and I want everyone to have warm food on Shabbos. It's not going to taste good if it's not hot. So am I allowed to ask a non-Jew, b'makom tzarech gadol, I have 20 people in the house all waiting to eat, I don't have food that tastes good to serve them because the food is cold, so it was already cooked before Shabbos. So what's the obstacle? To take the food and put it onto a heating element, what's my obstacle there? A biblical prohibition or a rabbinic prohibition? What was that? Rabbinic. Why?
It's already fully cooked.
It was already fully cooked. So we're talking about an issur d'rabbanan, a rabbinical prohibition, that the Chachamim said you're not allowed to put something back on a fire on Shabbos because we're concerned of something. Right? We're not exactly sure what we're concerned about, but we're concerned about something. So can I ask a non-Jew to do that for me? Now we know on Shabbos there's a prohibition of Amir l'Nachri. I'm not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do a malacha for me, but here all I'm asking him to do is violate a rabbinic prohibition on Shabbos. All I'm asking him to do is put this back onto the fire. It was already cooked before Shabbos. So would I be allowed to ask a non-Jew to do that for me, b'makom tzarech gadol, where I have 20 guests in the house, and I want some warm food for everyone to eat? Would I be allowed to do that or not? Says the Bir Halacha, that should be dependent on this discussion. Why should it be dependent? Why should it be dependent? So he says, and the Chazon Ish discusses this, it depends whether you accept the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam or the opinion of the Rashba. Says the Mishnah Berurah, since in my opinion we adopt the position of the Rashba, what was the reason why the Chachamim came along and said you're not allowed to put cooked food onto a flame on Shabbos? Says the Rashba, the reason why is because mechzi kimevasho. It looks like you're cooking. Now, somebody who walks into my kitchen and sees a non-Jew putting food onto an open flame doesn't think I'm doing anything, because I didn't do anything. It's the non-Jew doing. You let the non-Jew do what he wants. It's not my business. Therefore, b'makom tzarech gadol, says the Mishnah Berurah, there would be no problem to have a non-Jew take fully cooked food and put it onto the flame on Shabbos, put it onto the element. However, says the Chazon Ish, if you accept the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, that the whole concern over here is not because we have a worry that mechzikim evasha, but rather the concern is shema yichata b'gachalim, and we're concerned maybe you're going to stoke the coals, maybe you're going to raise the heat. Therefore, says the Chazon Ish, even in this case, it would be a problem. Why? Because in the end of the day, even if the non-Jew is the one who actually put it onto the element, I'm going to walk by 5 minutes later, I'm going to see, oh, it's not cooking well enough. I'm going to raise the flame, I'm going to raise the dial, and therefore we have a concern of shema yichata b'gachalim. So that would be one very good test case. Let's see, what would be another test case? Another test case would be the following. Let's say I put my challant on the element before Shabbos begins. But I don't want to have electricity running the whole night. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm not going to stay in the kitchen. I'm afraid of an electrical fire. Whatever it is, I don't want to have things plugged in running the whole night. So what do? The challant was cooked before Shabbos. Now I put it out on the element and I leave it out there. And I put it on a timer. When Shabbos comes in, the timer is off. 8 o'clock in the morning, Shabbos morning, the timer goes on. I don't do anything. I don't touch it. Timer goes on, and the challant automatically starts heating up. Would I be allowed to do that, or perhaps not? I had this case. We once had, when I was still living in the Heights, a number of years ago, so we had one Friday night. There was some kind of blackout. How did I know? The baby started crying in the middle of the night, so I went through the kitchen to go to his room. If you've ever seen Heights apartments, it's like the room is off the kitchen. Don't ask me why. Fire hazard as can be, but okay. So we have the room that's off the kitchen, and I went in to get the baby, and as I walked by, I saw the challant was not bubbling. So I touched it, and I saw it wasn't hot. Okay, so I said, all right, we forgot to turn it on. I didn't make anything of it. Woke up in the morning and I saw that our clocks were at the wrong time as well. So I said, obviously what happened was the electricity went out. A few hours later, it obviously went back on. You can see by the clock how long it took for it to go back on, right? It said 3 hours in the morning. So we know that it was off in the middle of the night. And now for the last 3 hours, it went back on. So now when we woke up in the morning, we saw the challant was hot again. So I came into yeshiva, to daven, and I asked my father, are we allowed to use that challant? We're not. I know that on Friday night, the whole thing cooled down and went off. And now Shabbos morning, it's hot again. But I didn't do anything. I wasn't actively involved. So what do you think? What do you think? No one has any thoughts. This is the same Shaila. It depends why Hachazara is not permissible on Shabbos. If the reason why Hachazara is not allowed is because we're afraid Shema Yechata B'Gachalim, maybe you're going to stoke the coals, so then that's the same in this case. Even if it happened automatically, if I set a timer before Shabbos and it only goes on Shabbos morning at 8 o'clock, or if the electricity went off and then it went back on, you still have a concern of Shema Yechata B'Gachalim. You're going to walk by the crock pot, you're going to say, hey, it's not cooked as much as I want it to be, you're going to raise the flame. However, according to the Mishnah Berurah, that the whole concern is mechzi kimevashel, that by actively engaging in this thing, I'm going to look like I'm cooking. Somebody who walks by my kitchen is going to say, hey, Schechter cooks on Shabbos, what's that about? The answer is, in this case, it wouldn't be a problem. Why? Because in this case, everything happened by itself. The chum was on the element. It was there by itself. It turned on by itself. Or the electricity went out and then went back on. I had no involvement at all. There is no mechzik kimavasha. Very practical case. So that would be a distinction between Rabbi Tam and the Rashba, between the Chazon Ish and the Mishneh Berurah. Two very practical situations. Number one, like we said, the Mishneh Berurah says, if you have a shasat chak gadol, meaning you have a real tzorech, you have a lot of guests in the house, you want to serve them something warm, can you have a non-Jew put it onto the element? Now, that may be a bad idea for other reasons. If you have a non-Jew working in the house, and you drill into them that don't ever touch any of the appliances and don't ever put something on the oven, which is probably the right thing to do, because you want to save yourself from bishul akum considerations, if that's something that you're going to make sure that they understand, then how are you going to explain to them why in this case you want to let them put it on, and every other case you're not going to let them put it on? So, right, you have to keep that in mind as well. It may be worth it not to have the hot food in order that you don't get into a much larger issue as time goes on. But theoretically speaking, the Mishneh Berurah says that would be permissible. And the second case we gave was also a very, very important case, which happens all the time, where the electricity goes out, then the electricity goes back on. Would I say that there would be a problem? According to the Mishneh Berurah, not a problem at all. According to the Chazon Ish, it would be something that we still have to be concerned about. Are there any ways to allow myself to take something that was once on the element, then it was subsequently taken off? Is there any way to allow myself to put it back on? There are four conditions that are mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch, quoting from the Gemara, that would have to be met in order for me to be allowed to put it back on. Condition number one is Grufa Ktuma. Condition number one is that I have to cover over the flame. So I have to have a blech. That's number one. Condition number two is that the food is Mevushal Kol Tzarka. Condition number two is that there's no bishul consideration here because everything was cooked before Shabbos began. And that's why if you have something that is a liquid, you wouldn't be allowed to return it onto the flame on Shabbos, even if it's covered over. Why? Because since it cooled down, once I'm going to put it back on, it's going to cook again. We paskin yesh bishul achar bishul b'davar lach. We paskin even if the water was cooked before Shabbos, by putting it back on now, it's cooking up the water again. So where is that relevant? It's relevant if I have a dish on Shabbos. I'm getting blank stares. Is that because I'm not making sense or because nobody knows anything I'm saying? Or it does make sense. So good. We're okay. In Teaneck, they know such things. Bergenfield. It's okay. All right. So let's say it's relevant if I have some kind of meat that has gravy in it. So it was all cooked before Shabbos. But obviously the gravy has now cooled down, just like the meat has cooled down. It was in the refrigerator all night. So therefore, I would not be allowed to put it back onto the fire, even if the fire was covered. Why? Because the assumption is that by doing so, I'm now going to re-cook the gravy, re-cook the liquid, and that would be something that would be a violation of bishul. So again, condition number one is it has to be grufo ktuma, which means it has to be covered. Condition number two is it has to be mevushal kol tzarka. It has to be cooked fully in order for that to be allowed. Condition number three is when I took it off of the element, it was daita lahachzir. I had intention to put it back on. So say, for example, Friday night, I want to have some challen from the crock pot. How can I do it? How can I do it? So the answer is, when you take it off, you have in mind to put it back on. And number four, the Shulchan Aruch says, Odo biyado. It has to be remaining in your hands the whole time it's off. So if I take it off, you're going to need two people to do it. You're going to need one person to keep their hands on the crock pot, a second person to go dish out whatever somebody needs, and then he can put it back on. That would be a permissible way to do it, but only if all four of these conditions are met. Number one, grufo ktuma. Number two, it's mevushal kol tzarka. Number three, it's daito lahachzir. And number four, it's odo biyado. You asked a question before, is it both or one? Shulchan Aruch over here says, all I need is one of those two. Daito lahachzir or odo biyado, either one of those is good enough. However, the Rama disagrees, and he says, no, we need both of them. Which means for Ashkenazim, you need four conditions to be met. Number one, that the fire is covered. Number two, that it's mevushal kol tzarcho, that it's fully cooked. Number three, that it's daito lahachzir, that I want to put it back from the time that I took it off. And number four, that it's odo biyado. Okay. Okay. Now, the problem is, yeah?
Doesn't matter if the children's liquidy or more.
Sure. Yeah, but here we're talking about where the challenge is burning hot. I take it off for 30 seconds. It's not going to cool down by the time I put it back. But it would matter in terms of the next question that we're going to talk about, which is the final piece, which is, so then how do I heat up food on Shabbos? How do I heat up food on Shabbos? Not talking about, in most instances, we're not talking about somebody who wants to take something from the Chalent crock pot and put it back on, take it off. Which, by the way, how do you leave your Chalent on the crock pot when Shabbos comes in? Aren't we afraid? Shami Echata B'Kachalim? Huh?
Cover
what?
The dye.
So, does everyone do that?
You cover the face and the dye.
Yeah, so that's something to be aware of. That's something to be aware of. The element on the bottom, you should put a little piece of silver foil on top and let it cover over the dial. This way, you have no concern, Shema Yechata B'Gachala. There's no concern that maybe you're going to change the dial. Now, it doesn't look so nice. You have a piece of foil. I mean, it's not so noticeable. It's a small piece of foil that you put underneath the crock pot in between itself and the element. And just you fold over a little bit of it to cover over the dial. That's the way to get around any concerns of Shema Yechata B'Gachalim. Yeah.
How much of the heating element needs to be covered?
The whole thing.
So like the entire inside.
Because the whole thing is hot. Yeah. Yeah. So again, you're asking about the other crock pots, about the insert?
Yeah.
Oh, so the inserts are different. There are two different kinds of crock pots. One is when you have like this. One is when you have, I'm sorry, Nes Nigla, Nes Nistar, Great Kiddush Hashem, Kochav, amazing. Okay, so onto other things. You have one kind of crock pot that is a pot with a heating element underneath like this. So this whole thing is burning hot, right? It's plugged into the wall. But this just rests on top, and the dial is over here. So what you do is you put a piece of foil here, a small piece of foil in between the crock pot and the element, fold over the top of the edge of the foil to cover over this dial over here, and that's the way to do it. Now you have a second kind of crock pot, which is like this, and that crock pot is a big insert, and then you have the top of the pot goes here, but basically the whole pot is inserted here, right? And the heating element is all around. If you touch any part of the inside of this, right, when the pot is out, if you touch any part of the inside, you're going to get burnt. So that is a major question for other reasons. What about Hatmana? What do you do about Hatmana? So this is a big question. How do you deal with that on Shabbos? And that is why some say if you put like some marbles on the bottom and you raise it a little bit, that it's not totally submerged into the heating element, part of it sticks out, that's the way to get around Hatmana. However, in terms of your question about how to get around the Shami Echata B'Gachalim, Rabbi Willig, I think, said that you have to cover over the whole inside with foil, which... You gotta think about it before Shabbos. Not so hard, but something you have to just think about. And if it's going to cause a big fight in your house, then you should ask a Sheilas Chacham. Okay, so how do we heat up food on Shabbos that was in the refrigerator, which is the situation that most of us face on a weekly basis? So what do we do? Okay. So because the whole problem over here seems to be that it's mechzi kimevashel, because I'm taking food out of the refrigerator and putting it onto a source of heat, so any way that we get around that problem of mechzi kimevashel will be something that will mitigate this issue that we have of putting it onto a fire. So the first suggestion that is given, I think, Gemara Masechta Shabbos Daf Mem, is put it samach la'esh. Don't put it on the fire itself. Put it close to the fire. During any other day of the week, would you ever take a pot that you want to heat up, and instead of putting it on the stove, you put it right next to the stove? That's not a normal thing to do. So therefore, the Rishonim say, that's where the Gemara tells us, as long as it's samuch la'esh, as long as it's next to the fire, that's not called bishul. That's not called mechzi kimevashel. That's not doing anything that looks remotely like the way I would cook any other day of the week, and therefore, that would be permissible. So, let's say I have a large blech that covers over the whole stovetop. But I only have one flame that's on. So, to put the food directly on top of that flame would not be allowed. Why? That's agabi ha'ish. It's putting it right on top of the fire. What about putting it on top of the fourth grate that's on the other edge of the blech? Would that be permissible? You say yes. Why? You say it's samuch. So there are those who argue, samuch means when this is my oven, right? This is my stovetop, and I put it next to it over here on the counter. Here, where I have a blech that covers over all four grates, so then the heat is basically going to be transferred, not just on top of this grate, but it's going to be transferred to the other side also. That's not called samach. That's called on top of the yesh. Now all you did was, by putting a blech on top, you basically expanded the yesh. The yesh used to only be here, and now the yesh now encompasses all four of the grates. So that's why some say putting it on the other edge of the blech is not going to be helpful. Okay, so what do? The second etza is, if you don't want to do it samach la'esh, because it's really not going to heat your food up, so if you don't want to do it samach la'esh, the second thing to do is the Beis Yosef quotes on the Rashba, that you put a kedera al gabi kedera, which means, if I have a pot with food that was already cooking before, for example, right here, this crock pot, before Shabbos began, it was here, it was all set up. So what do? Now I put something else on top of this. Right? I put a pan of food here, a pan of food here, and of course they're going to heat up, because the crock pot itself is boiling hot. Now you put something on top of it, that's called a kedera, al gabi kedera. Why would that be permissible? Because, once again, ein derech levashel bekach. This is not the normal way to cook. The normal way to cook is you put something directly on a source of heat. You don't put something on top of something else that's cooking. That's not normal. And therefore we say that that would mitigate the issue of mechzi kimevashel. That's how we get around the problem. Okay, now there's a big stira in Shulchan Aruch, whether kedera al gabi kedera actually works or it doesn't work, and there's a major question, how do you deal with that contradiction in the Shulchan Aruch? The answer that is given by the Pri Megadim is, the only time the Shulchan Aruch allows you to do kedera al gabi kedera is when you have a pot that is filled with food, like this crock pot. That's a way to get around mechzi kimevashel. But if I have an empty pot, say for example, what's a good example of that? I have a flat blech on top of the oven, top of the stove, and now I put a pan on top of the blech. Flip a pan upside down. Seen this before?
Yeah.
Flip a pan upside down, put your food on top of the flipped over pan. What would you say? What would you say? What?
It doesn't have food in it.
Doesn't have food in it. So should that be a kedera al gabi kedera or not? So the Pri Megadim, in his understanding of the Shulchan Aruch, says, no, that won't be effective, that's not going to help, because all that looks, the way Rabbi Willig likes to say it is, I like his terminology, he said, so what's a blech? A blech is that you just have a flat sheet pan on top of the stove. Now, he calls it a crooked blech. Right? When you put a flipped over pan on top, basically it's like your blech is just a little bit crooked. Nothing changed. So therefore, that's not going to be good enough. You have to have a kedera, al gabi kedera, but the bottom pot has to have food in it. So they came up a number of years ago with a great invention that most of the poskim did not accept and thinks that they think it doesn't help. My father's a huge fan of it, and this is what I use at home. Anyone here heard of the kedera blech? Kedera blech is a brilliant idea. What's a kedera blech? You know what it is?
Doesn't it have water in it?
Yeah, kedera blech is this. So here's my burners on my stove, right? Good, everyone gets it? Okay, I put a blech on top. Now, this is just a pan on top. A flat sheet of metal that goes on top of my burners. Okay, so now here's the question. Can I go from my refrigerator, take out a pot, and put it on here on Shabbos? What do you say? No, why not? Mechzi kimevashel, looks like I'm cooking. How do you do it? Says the Shulchan Aruch, one way to do it is, if I already have a pan that's here with food in it, right? I have a pan with food, then I'd be allowed to take this and put it on top of that. Okay? That would be allowed. Now, that's not so practical. Who leaves food on top of the blech overnight cooking so that in the morning they can come and put something else on top of it? Nobody. So what are you going to do? How are we going to heat up the food on shelves? Somebody came up with a genius idea. Here's what they did. Instead of having just a flat sheet of metal here as a blech, they put a rim on top of it, so it has some depth to it. Now you have a cover, a flat sheet cover that goes on top of it. So there's some space here in between, right? We got it? Fill this up with water before Shabbos, and basically the water cooks before Shabbos begins. So now, am I allowed to go into my refrigerator Shabbos morning and put something on top of this?
Yeah.
Yes, why?
Because of the water.
Because of the water, which basically means that would be In my father's opinion, it would be kedera agabi kedera, because you have automatically a kedera filled with food underneath. Now, many of the other contemporary poskim disagree, and they said, what are you talking about? Kedera agabi kedera means I cook in such an unusual manner that I have a pot of food that's on top of the fire, and on top of that, I'm going to put something else. This is not unusual. This is, I put a pan on top of the fire. Nobody knows that there's water underneath there, and you would never drink the water. That's not called kedera agabi kedera. It's called nothing. That's called a flat sheet pan that just has water next to it. So that's the dispute. That's a very interesting dispute. My parents at home use this, use the kedera agabi kedera, and we do that in my house as well. So that would definitely be something that could get around some of the issues if you accept that understanding. What about an electric hot plate? What about an electric hot plate? So my father's of the opinion that that would be permissible to use on Shabbos. The Shmir Shabbos Kachasa says it's not allowed, but my father feels it's allowed. Why would it be allowed? Take food out of the refrigerator on Shabbos morning, put it onto the hot plate. Why is it allowed? Because Ein Derech Bishul B'Kach. On Tuesday afternoon, when you want to cook something, do you go plug in your hot plate and put things on top of it? No. Now, why does the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa say it's not allowed? Why does the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa say it's not allowed? Yeah?
Maybe because like a hot plate could be a normal way to cook.
It could be. It happens to be it's much more convenient that we cook in the normal way. But it's become normal that on Shabbos, everybody uses a hot plate. And theoretically, if I wanted to cook with it, I could. So that's why the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa says a problem. My father says, no, but just because it's become normal convention on Shabbos that people use it, doesn't mean that now that is going to be something that becomes prohibited. It's clear that the only reason I'm doing it on Shabbos is because I'm doing it in a very unconventional way of cooking. So that's another way of heating up food on Shabbos. And finally, a warming drawer is a very, very important issue that we need to think about as well. A warming drawer, if it has a dial and you can change the temperature of a warming drawer, then you have to really think very carefully about whether or not you're allowed to use that. But assuming that you have a warming drawer that only has one setting, right? If you have a warming drawer that only has one setting, so that would be something that many would say you would be allowed to use on Shabbos to reheat food. Why would you be allowed to use that? Because a warming drawer is usually not used for cooking either. That is why it's called a warming drawer. It's not called an oven. It's called a warming drawer because it just keeps things warm. It doesn't get to the level where you would ever cook anything, and therefore it would not be considered Mexican mevashel, according to many opinions. And that is why many would say that that would be something that is permissible to be used on Shabbos when trying to reheat food. Okay, so again, as I said, this is a very brief overview of Hilchos Bishul. There is so much more detail to talk about, but I think it's important just to know the yesodos, to know the foundations of Bishul, to know where there's a shaila that we need to think about and how we're going to do it properly. And Mirtz Hashem, see everybody.